If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. I'm going to read out of the King James, and then hopefully he'll get this. There we go. All right. This is what the King James says. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And then the NIV says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Say that with me. Drift away. Slip away. Drift away. Fall back. Fall away from where we once was. Let me tell you a story about two young men that were fishing, and they were in a low water dam or a river near their hometown. And as they were concentrating on catching fish, they began to catch fish. As they were concentrating on catching the fish, let that motorcycle zip by. As they were concentrating, they were in this low water dam, in this river near this low water dam, and as they were concentrating on catching the fish, they were unaware that they had drifted. And not far from the waters, from the dam, the water was flowing over the dam. And they didn't realize that they were drifting from where they had originally docked their boat in. Their boat, they'd set their boat in the water, and they were fishing and going along about life as nothing was going on, and did not realize that there was an undercurrent happening. Did not realize in their situation there was an undercurrent near the dam. And what struck this message in me this morning was what Nina said about the World Trade Center, what they've renamed it. And John, do you know what they've renamed it?
One World
Tower. And when she said that, I had been all night struggling with this message about should I preach this, should I not, should I preach something different? I had something else intended. And when she said that, all through the praise and worship, the Lord was wrestling with me. How many knows we can wrestle with the Lord? How many knows that you're going to lose if you wrestle with the Lord? Is it Jacob that wrestled with the Lord? And he refused to give in. And I'm telling you, if you refuse to give in to the Lord, you'll walk away with a limp. So, I'm talking about a permanent scar that'll last you for a long time. Now, what I'm talking about is, we're living in the last of the last days. And when Nina said that, I said, I'm not surprised, because God said, I'll tell you the end from the beginning. He told us that in the last days in Daniel that there would be the revived Roman Empire, which was a one world government. He tells us in Revelations that there's going to be a one world system, a religious system as well as a financial system. So it's coming. So we shouldn't be surprised. Now, the point I'm making is this. It says we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Now, these young men were fishing on this lake, and they didn't realize that the dam was overflowing, and the dam had an undercurrent on it. How many knows there's an undercurrent happening in our world today? You may not even recognize it. These young men didn't recognize the toll of the undercurrent. And if you've ever been a fisher, and you've ever been out on a lake, you understand what I'm talking about. The top of it can look good, but the bottom can be sucking, pulling. And in this situation, these young men were fishing, and they were going about in their business as if nothing was happening, nothing's going on. What I'm saying is, they wasn't paying careful attention. And if we don't pay careful attention to what's going on in our lives and what's going on in our world and in our faith walk, then guess what? There's an undercurrent happening. And just like these two young men, it is drawing you to disaster. These young men were fishing, and they didn't realize it. They were going that direction. They just kept fishing and probably catching fish. This is a true story, by the way. This is a real thing. Happened in Ohio. Two young men were fishing, and they didn't realize it. They were fishing, having a good time, chit-chatting, unaware of their surroundings and what was going on around them. And the boat was being pulled closer and closer. Before they realized it, they were close to the dam, and the tow was so strong they couldn't pull themselves away from it. And over the dam they went and drowned. And one day, the next day, they found one of them afloat, and then they sent a diving crew in, and it was 2 or 3 days later they found the other one. The force was so great that it sent them over this strong, and if you've ever been, I've been to the Niagara Falls, and if you've ever seen the force of water when it is pulling like that, man, I mean, it comes down with some force. And and there's no way you could jump in just ahead of the Niagara Falls and swim to safety. There's no way. It would suck you right over the edge. Ain't nothing you could do about it. Even with a boat, if you don't have the right kind of ship to get, you can't get close enough to that thing, it'll just pull you right over the edge of it. So what I'm saying this morning is we need to be aware of what's going on. There is a danger in our lives, if we're not careful, of drifting. And it's not just limited to the physical realm. There is a big undercurrent in the world today. There's a big undercurrent in the church today. And we find in Hebrews 2:1 that we're getting a warning against slipping or drifting. And it's not uncommon for Christians to drift towards destructions. I see it all the time. As a pastor, I cry over people. I really do. I go to the Lord and I shed tears. I do my best to try to warn them, pray for them, encourage them, stop the drifting, throw them an anchor, throw them a life jacket. And sometimes people are just unaware that they're going the wrong direction in life. The tide is, or the current is sucking them that way, and they don't even realize it. You know what? The Bible says that the devil has blinded the eyes of those that don't believe. I believe also that Christians can be blinded. We can get in a state of unbelief and the devil won't even let us see where we're heading for destruction. I said one time in my sermons that the Lord, He warns us, and if you can read the Bible throughout the Old Testament through the New Testament, anytime there was impending danger for the people of God, God forewarned His people. Why? He does not want His people to end up in destruction. Now listen to me. God may be giving you a road sign, may be giving you a sign, and may be holding a flashing sign. And if you're ignoring it, you're heading for impending danger. We need to ask ourselves this morning, is my life heading in the right direction? Would I even know if I were going the wrong way? And I hope this morning I can stimulate some careful introspection. I want to tell you this morning regarding the danger of drifting away from the Lord. We all need to be introspective. The Bible says examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. We need to do this on a regular basis. I do it all the time. And there's times I find myself just slightly off course and I have to jerk myself back in rein and get back on course. And it's something we have to do. It just the nature of man is to drift. And we don't even see that there is a big... How many knows what a gravitational pull is? I've been up in a plane flying across the country, and there's always a gravitational pull on the plane. The wings are always in such a way that it is physically impossible for a plane to fly. With the exception of man's technology to go against the grain. Meaning that the thrust and the wings that turn upward into the down pull and force itself up into the air. But it wants to pull down. And if that guy is not paying careful attention, just like this Buffalo flight that just went down not too long ago, the wind shear and the gravitational pull of the thing will suck you down and crash you. It can happen in your Christian walk too. There is a gravitational pull in the life of a Christian that is trying to pull you back into the old life. Constantly trying to get you back to where you were, where you used to be. God wants you to move forward in your Christian walk. Always. He don't want us to be stagnant. He wants us to continually grow. The moment we stop growing is the moment where we stagnate. And when we stagnate, we start to lose ground, not gain ground. And there's things we need to know about drifting. You just stop oaring or tacking, as they say, against the wind. And a boater will find out that the current will take him where it wants to carry him. If you stop going rowing against it or your motor against it, then the boat will drift in the direction that the current's flowing. I want to tell you something this morning. The current is flowing towards destruction. The world is heading for destruction. And it's not God's best. God is warning, saying don't let it happen. But the world is heading for that. And if we're not careful in the church, we can get sucked into that thing. And we can head for destruction. And the same can be true for every Christian in here today, which that's why he told us in Hebrews 1, we must give a more earnest heed. We need to pay more careful attention. How many knows it's easy to get in a routine of things as a Christian? And things come ho-hum. You just go through the motion. And you're not really making progress, but you feel like you're not really losing ground. But you really are. You're just unconscious of it. It's an unconscious process. It's possible to drift unaware in a boat because undercurrents are often unnoticeable from the surface. And it's that way in our Christian life. It's possible to think that everything's going okay or deceive yourself into thinking everything is okay when there's an undertow, an undercurrent that is pulling you in the wrong direction and you're not even noticing it. Because on the surface, we can kid ourselves. JD's got said something to me years ago. He said, you kid your friends and I'll kid mine. And what he meant by that was this, is that you can kid yourself if you want to. And as a Christian, we can be deceived. We can deceive ourselves in saying that everything's okay when it's really not. And everything can look good from the surface, but on the inside, there's an undertow, and there's something that's going on inside that is drawing you back away from what you know is right and the direction. That's why he says, be careful. In the plane I was talking about, I've been in planes and they drop 40 or 50 feet and it's hardly even noticeable. You don't even notice it. You can be going along and all of a sudden the plane will just drop and you don't even notice it. The guy has to make a correction. The pilot has to make a correction to bring the plane back up. So if that can happen, it can happen to all of us. There's gravitational forces that are pulling all the time. I'm not telling you that gravity is pulling us away from God. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, spiritually speaking, there are gravitational pulls upon our lives that will pull us away from the things of God and the purposes of God and the things we know that are right in God. So the same is true in the spirit realm. Many Christians have slowly drifted away. Many churches have gradually drifted into error, only one day to find themselves far removed from where they originally began and where the original doctrine. There are churches that are in doctrinal error today because little by little the enemy infiltrated them and drew them away from what was the truth of the gospel. And now they're so far removed from it, they don't even know how they got there. How did this happen? It happened little by little. You know, most Christians don't fall away all at once. It's a gradual thing. It's unnoticeable. Do you think when Samson was being stroked by Delilah that he realized that the ultimate goal was to take the anointing off of his life and to kill him? No, 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 no. He was being stroked into it. It felt good. Or he wouldn't have let it happen. He never noticed it till it was too late. Donna was reading a book one time and she told me a story about a song leader in the church sung a song. And his song was about the blood. And they had a new senior pastor. And after the service, he scolded this song leader, said, "Don't ever sing a song like that again in this church." I guess the blood isn't a popular subject. It's very graphic. It's not one we like to hear. And, you know, so the song leader was a little bit taken back by it, didn't understand why. But this pastor thought that it was too graphic and that it was offensive to people. Churches can be removed from it, from the true gospel. People can be. Our lives can be. You know, sometimes we don't even see it happening little by little. I noticed in our church for a while, because as a pastor, you want to be a people pleaser. Now listen carefully what I say when I say that. I'm meaning that you don't want to be harsh. And you don't want to step on people's toes. Betty used to have a saying, "Step on my toes, Pastor." She liked the truth. She liked to be challenged. But I noticed that if I turned up the heat any at all, that some people didn't like to be challenged. You say, what do you mean turned up the heat? Well, I pulled back the veil a little bit further. Come on, church. There's a lot that's to be seen in the church that God, that we can't even preach. And Paul said it best. He says, I wanted to feed you meat, but I could not. Because people choke on it. Churches are not, spiritually speaking, are not at a level that they could receive the meat of the gospel. They just choke on it and choke to death. And they don't grow. They choke on it. And then they don't want to come back to church because they say, that's too tough. That's too straight. I don't like it straight. I want you to tell me, Pastor, everything's okay. But what kind of pastor would I be if I just let people go off into error and never said anything to them? I'd be the kind that stood before the Lord at judgment day and he says, I'm going to count their blood against you. I can't afford that. We have to speak the truth in love. And we have to do introspection in our lives. Have you ever noticed one thing? You never drift upstream. Have you ever watched those salmon that go upstream to lay their eggs? Man, they fight. They fight till they die. They go to them, finally get to their destination only to die. Praise God, that's us. We finally get to our destination only to die. But we live again. That's the difference in us and the salmon. But have you ever noticed that you never drift the right direction? We always have a tendency to want to go to the negative, wrong direction. Faithfulness to the Lord is like oaring upstream. We must constantly be adding, the Bible says, to our faith. In 2 Peter 1 and 15, it says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. This is in 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 15. We must continue to grow, and we must add diligence. We have to be diligent in our walk with the Lord. You cannot... It just don't happen. You know, somehow or another, people got this thing that you get born again. And I'm not telling you that God's grace, it is sufficient. And yes, He is tenderhearted towards us. And He understands that we're frail and that we're weak. But God does expect us to do something with this Christianity once we get it. He does expect us to participate and grow. John is, and you can look at him, he's very fit looking. And I do envy that some. I used to look like that, John, back when I was in my 30s. So you got a lot to look forward to, brother. And I got pictures to prove it. Anyhow, what I was getting at is you don't get a physically fit like that without some effort. It took effort. And it takes effort to maintain that. It takes effort for me to maintain this. I have to eat a lot to do that. That makes it a little lighter, a little easier to take, I know. But what I'm saying in the Christian walk, it takes effort. It just don't happen. We just don't grow up in the Lord. The Bible says, earnestly desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We have to have a desire to grow. And he says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we have to add some knowledge to this Christian walk if we're going to grow. You know? And I can't believe that God is pleased with Christians that stay babies forever. He wants us to grow. And if we're not growing, then we're going in the wrong direction. The moment we stop growing is the moment you start going backwards, or what I would like to say, downstream or drifting away, if you will. Now, I know that even John will attest to this. In the physically fit world, you have to train your muscles in a way for them to grow. Now, after a while, your muscles become acclimated to the training regimen that you're putting it through. Am I right, John? And if you don't switch it up, then you don't get much benefit. In other words, if you keep doing the same routine forever, you'll reach a point and you stop and you won't get any more fit. You follow what I'm saying? You have to train in a different way. In other words, that's why they'll say train legs one day, arms one day, or get a different routine, so to speak. And then you start, your muscles have to readjust and you're pushing them to the limit, and that causes them to grow. So we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge. We always need to add knowledge if we're going to grow in this grace. The moment we stop growing, we start going backwards and downstream. And I'm telling you, once that stream starts pulling on you, if you're not careful, it'll do you just like it did these young men. Suck you right over the dam. The speed downstream increases. The danger increases with the speed of the drift. And when you can hear the noise of the waterfall, guess what? It's already too late. When you lose sight of land, it's more difficult to discern that you're drifting. Me and my brother was in Panama City back when we were teenagers, and we had these floats that you lay on. We laid out on them. We started out right there by the shore and fell asleep. Hour and a half later, woke up. I could not even see land. The current was taking us out. I could see my brother, and he fell asleep. And both of us hollered at each other, which direction do we go? Scary. Especially when you start seeing, you know, your imagination plays. These things come up out of the water. It looked like a shark thing. And Jaws was back in my day, by the way. And but anyhow, we had got so far away from land because we wasn't paying attention. And the ocean, we could barely see land. I know today, we were over a mile and a half out in the water. You could jump off your raft and stand up in it. But at that time, I didn't know that. I thought it was a bottomless pit. For some reason, in certain places of the ocean, it's very shallow for a long ways out. But that day, we got very fearful because we couldn't see land. I was 16. I think he was 17. And as you move further and further away from land, you care less about what we do. Speaking as a Christian, the further we move away from the things of God, the harder our hearts will get, and we'll move further away from the Lord, and we have a tendency to care less about what's going on in our lives. I'm telling you, and if we ain't careful, we'll find ourselves in a real mess, make a mess of things real quick. And God's saying we need to pay attention. A ship drifting is a hazard to other vessels also. A boat that drifts, that is adrift, has a tendency to crash on the rocks or go over the falls. Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. He talks about two gentlemen who started out in the faith but ended up shipwrecked in their faith. And if we're not careful, that can happen to us. You cannot take this Christian walk for granted. You know, we just, people, they take the Christian walk so lightly. Sometimes I wonder, are they even saved? So let me give you some common signs of drifting. There are signs. There's a real danger of drifting. And there are signs when we are drifting. And if these prick you in your heart, then do what the Bible says. Make the right adjustments. One of the first signs to finding yourself drifting from the things of God is a diminishing desire to study God's Word and pray. The Bible is unique. It has all the answers that you could ever want. It tells you every answer to every question. This Bible is relevant for our society today. But our society don't want to hear the truth. That's why they turn their nose up to it. The Bible is unique in that it was God-breathed. It came straight from the mouth of God and the heart of God. And the Bible is unique in that it is full of promises. It is full of life. And it tells you, it warns you of all the impending dangers in life. It tells you the path that you need to go. Without it, we wouldn't know where we came from. We wouldn't know what our purpose is. We wouldn't know what our destiny is. We'd be lost. It tells us of His promises and blessings, how to be an overcomer. It tells us of sin's dreadful consequences and how God saves us from sin. It provides direction for happy living, useful lives, how to have a happy home, how to be a good father, a good mother, how to live your life, how to be blessed and how to be a blessing. Listen to Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law," or the word, "of the Lord. And in his law," or word, "doeth he meditate day and night." And he, the one who meditates in his word, the one who takes delight in his word, "and he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The man that's going to be blessed is the one that's going to make the word of God a priority in their life, and the one that meditates in it, and the one that does his word. And then he says, you're going to be blessed. He says, you'll bring forth fruit in your season. And by the way, we all have seasons. "And your leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever you do shall prosper." Our desire for God's word has to remain strong. Has to be a priority. You know, there's times, and I'm the pastor, I love the word of God. But there's times I don't want to read it. That I'd rather do something else. But I know that if I stop doing it, you start losing desire for it. And if you don't make yourself, John, am I right in saying this? It's just like working out. Usually if you have a partner that does it with you, they help keep you built up. What I mean is they encourage you when you don't really feel like doing it. Because not every time you got to go down there and work out. There's times that you do want to do it. And there's other times you're like, I'd just soon not do it. But the more you soon to not do it and don't do it, the less you'll want to do it, and the less you want to do it, the less you'll do it. And then for long, you're not doing it at all. Did that make sense? I know I said a lot of that words all in, but what I'm saying is, it's the same way with the Word of God. If you don't, the more you do it, the more you want to do it. The less you do it, the less you want to do it. Because the enemy comes in and starts giving you every reason in the world why you don't need to read the Word of God. You already know the God. Let me tell you something. The Bible does not say faith comes by hearing what you heard. This is why people don't have a lot of faith in some areas, is because faith comes by hearing and hearing. That means present tense. We have to constantly hear the Word of God. You don't just get it on one thing and forever. It's settled in your heart. Because you might overcome a challenge one day only to have it 2 or 3 years down the road, and that challenge that you overcame 2 or 3 years ago, that faith that you had then, don't work now. Why? Because it's not a fresh revelation to you. The Word of God has to be fresh, alive, vibrant to us in that day. And that's why it's important that we don't let this slip. Because if we're not careful, hey, nobody likes to watch TV like I do, especially sports, and the NCAA's been on, and I've been watching a little bit of it. I'm not going to lie about it. I like it. And I'm sorry Missouri lost. That broke my heart. But there's times when I'm watching something that I'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit say, pull away. And sometimes I'll go, turn the volume up. And then the Holy Spirit will say, whisper a little bit again, say, pull away and come spend time with me. And then, you know, after about 5 or 6 of those encouraging words from the Holy Spirit, I get obedient. And I always feel better after I do. And I know I'm stronger because of it. And I'm not letting myself slip. And then the other thing, prayer. Prayer is a wonderful blessing. It's an avenue that we use to communicate with our God. Jesus loved his Father, the Bible says, and prayed often. If you'll study the life of Jesus, he prayed in the morning, he prayed at noon, he prayed late at night, he prayed all night. Jesus was a man of prayer, and Jesus never let anything slip. And listen, the Bible says in Luke 18:1, Jesus said this, "Men ought to always pray and not faint." That means not give up, not stop praying, not let it slip. We need to be able to pray early, pray during the day, and pray late at night if necessary. Now, I'm not one of those that, I'm like that preacher at that conference I went to, and he's a great man of God. He says, God woke me up 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like this. I say, God, what do you want? And the Lord won't answer that kind of remark. You see, if you have the right spirit, say, Lord, I'm all ears, and I'm willing to hear, he might. But if you go get sassy with him like that, he's just going to pull back, and the Holy Spirit will say, I'm just going to let you stay awake for 3 or 4 hours, then I'll tell you. This guy said, I love to pray, but he said, God woke been waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, man, I'm not the nicest guy in the world at 3 o'clock in the morning. I like my sleep. I'm not telling you God's going to... My wife has a tendency to get up in the middle of the night and pray, and I don't. I do all mine during the day when I'm awake, and sometimes in the evenings. But I'm saying is that it's always appropriate to pray, the timing, no matter what. You know, if you're driving down the highway, you can pray, can't you? Can you pray and drive at the same time? Amen. Some people can't walk and chew gum at the same time, but we can pray and drive at the same time. And it's a good thing. Prayer is a wonderful thing. It's a blessing. It is a time when you and God are fellowshipping, and it'll keep you strong. And did you know God will give you, God will say things to you during that time of prayer that will put you over in life. He'll solve the mysteries for you. The Bible says, any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all that ask. Now, that means when we're in need of something, if we'll ask God, He's got the answer. And He don't mind sharing it with us if we'll get into the prayer closet. And the Bible says, when you enter into your closet, if you come out, everybody will notice that you've been praying, because the glory of God will be upon you. So when Christians pray less and less, guess what they're doing? They're drifting away more and more. Less and less means more and more. The wrong way. Prayer can give us strength if we pray and we do it on a regular basis. And then there's a diminishing desire to attend church. Listen to this. And it's evident this morning that some folks are struggling in this area. That does not mean they're not God's children. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. God would not be telling us the right thing to do if He didn't love us. And He loves us enough to tell us. Listen to, I believe it's Hebrews chapter, and this was happening in their day. Now, after all the great things that they had seen God do in the book of Acts, and I've been studying the book of Acts lately, and all the great things that they'd seen God do, you would have thought that people would be excited about God and that they couldn't wait to get to church. But that's not the case. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, I believe it is, here we go. Hebrews 10:24 said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And he equates this with the next verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now listen, he said a mouthful here. He said we need to consider one another, and we need to encourage one another. Why? Because there's an undercurrent happening. And the undercurrent is pulling people away from the things of God, not to the things of God. Yes, God's trying to pull us in, but the enemy's also trying to pull on our flesh and pull us away. And he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. What is the day approaching he's talking about? Well, back in his day, they was talking about the coming of Jesus. And they were 2,000 years removed from where we are. So if it was important then, and he was saying the day that of Christ is approaching, then it's more important today, because we are living in that last day. I know, I used to speculate, but I know because the scriptures declare it. And when Nina said that this morning, it rung this in me that God says, I told you the end from the beginning. So when it happens, you'll know that I'm God. We're seeing prophecy unfold right before our eyes right now. And he's saying that day is approaching. In other words, there is a day. How many believes that Jesus is coming back for his church? Now, if we believe that, he said that the foolish virgins were the ones that were what? Half full. Is that right? And the ones that he came back for, or who were led into the wedding, were the ones who were what? Full and ready. And he exhorts us in that whole dissertation about the end times in chapter 21 of Luke and chapter 24. At the very end, he says, having said everything I've said, be ready. This is all Jesus had to say. And how do you be ready? Well, one, he says, stay in church. You know, the tendency is that the devil wants you to get out of church. He wants you to lose a desire for church. And it's evident this morning that some people's desire is not exactly where it needs to be this morning, because they're not here or in church. And I'm telling you this morning that God is saying, he don't want us to beat each other up over it, but he says, is in the habit of doing, some are missing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I don't want you to read verse 26 because that's hard. But you read it. I'm not going to read it. Just read it for yourself. He attached that to church attendance. Is that right, JD? Is that in context of what we just said? I'm not going to read it because I don't want it on the CD. But that was attached to it. I won't even preach that. But he says, encourage one another as you see the day approaching. We need to be about encouraging people. People who we see that are struggling in their Christian walk and are struggling in their relationship with the Lord and struggling to stay faithful in areas of their life. They need to be encouraged because the day is approaching fastly. Just like that water was approaching fastly over the dam. The day is approaching fastly and we need to be ready. Hallelujah. We need to have this attitude the psalmist had. In Psalms 122 and 1, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Now, I'm going to poke at you. Is that all right? If you're not glad, then you're drifting. You know what Brian said to me? He missed church last week. He called me. Or I called him and we were just talking. I said, how's your week going? And Brian goes, you know, I don't mind my job, but one thing I do mind is I'd mind missing church. You listening? Let me paraphrase what he just said. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And if we've lost this gladness about God and the things of God and about what God says is important, then we're drifting. There's just no other way to put it. We are drifting. If we no longer rejoice in worship of God with our brothers and sisters, we are drifting. Fellowship with God's people extends beyond services also. We should be concerned with edifying one another. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The right kind of friendship strengthens and the wrong kind weakens. Now listen, in 1 Corinthians it says corrupt communication corrupts good manners. Meaning that if we spend most of our time with people who aren't godly and not enough time with the people that are godly, then it's going to pull us in the wrong direction. It's going to corrupt us. Amen. Ecclesiastes, and I'll read it. I don't know if I can find that book. That's a hard one. Yes, praise God. I did. And I'll do it quickly. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12, I believe it is, says something about our fellowship together. And look what it says. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he have not another to help him up. And again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And threefold cord is not easily broken. What is he saying? He's saying this is church attendance is important because when you have threefold cord or you have many members that come together and you strengthen one another and two stronger than one, you become an island to yourself. You get out here all by yourself. You are no match for the enemy all by yourself. God ordained that we be bonded together in unity, the Bible says, in love, and that we strengthen one another. That way when things ain't going right in one another's life, we can encourage one another. Hey, I can encourage you and say, hey, you can do it. I'm praying for you. I'm praying with you. You call me night and day. We'll get together. We'll make you overcome in this area of your life. This is what he's talking about. Two can withstand. That's why it says, if any two agree as touching anything, two shall put 10,000 to flight. One a thousand. You're stronger in numbers. I watch these animal shows, and if you ever watch them, I was just flipped through yesterday in that Jack Hanna's Wild Kingdom or whatever it's called. And by the way, he's getting old. And he was around when I was a kid. But anyways, they had some cheetahs that spotted this little bitty Bambi-looking deer. That thing wasn't that big. And it was away from the pack. Man, the three of them, they go... And do And that little thing just oblivious to what was going on all by itself. They didn't even have to break a hard run. And they had this poor little thing. And then the mama recognizes it. And she's over going, ooh, ooh, trying to holler at what? It's too late. It's too late. They three of them had done pounced on the poor little thing. And it was dinner. So I'm saying is that we need one another. We need church so that we can encourage one another. We need to have fellowship with one another. We need to have a desire to be with one another. Here's another one that's a good indicator whether or not we've lost our desire for the things of God. And if you're newborn in the Lord, I don't expect you to have full understanding of some of this. But if you've been walking with the Lord a while, if you've lost the desire to share the gospel, when we lose that desire to share Jesus, folks, we're drifting. I've been walking with the Lord since 1983. J.D. Miller and them has been, and Edith have been walking with the Lord for longer than I'm alive. I'm 48 going on 49. Am I saying that right, J.D.? I think 50 plus years. And everywhere we go, I don't say nothing, but I listen. Everywhere we go, and we visit other churches together on Sunday nights sometimes and different functions. And everywhere we go, inevitably, somebody will come up and go, are you who I think you are? And J.D. will go, well, who you think I am? And he'll say, are you J.D. Miller? I'm J.D. Miller. And they'll say, you led my father to the Lord. Or my uncle or my cousin or whoever. And after 50 some odd years, he's still leading people to the Lord. Hasn't lost a desire to lead people to the Lord. Looks for opportunities to lead people to the Lord. Listen to me. When we lose that desire to share the gospel, it means that we don't hold it in high esteem anymore. That it's not precious to us like it once was. You know, I've been walking with the Lord since 1983. And I'm not the type person, outgoing personality. I don't just go in and start talking about Jesus. But I certainly listen. And when the door opens, I step right in. And I'm not forceful, and I don't go turn or burn type thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, but I just share the goodness of the Lord. I share how good God's been to me. I share that they can be saved if they want to hear it, or they can be healed or delivered, or that God's concerned about their life. And when we lose that desire to tell people about Jesus, then we're starting to drift, and we need to do an self-examination in our lives and see, God, have I let that first love relationship with you grow cold? Amen. And then we got to worry about, concern ourselves about interest of other things entering in. Did you know the Bible says the cares of this life, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word? Means that it makes it unproductive in our lives. We have to guard against that. And 2 Timothy 3:4 says, warns us of being lovers of pleasures more than God. Listen to me. God wants you to have pleasures forevermore. God does not have a problem with us enjoying this life. He says, I want you to have life and it to the full. But he does not want life to be more important than him. He does not. And when we allow that to happen, you know, I was thinking the other day, as a Christian, everywhere I go, anything I'm involved in, I'm doing it Christian, but I'm enjoying myself fully. Did you know if I go to the bowling alley, I'll have the best time of anybody there. Might not bowl worth a darn, but I'll have the best time there. Because why? God's in my life. He wants me to have a great time. And God has no problem with that. But I never let things draw me to the point where they become more important than my relationship with God. There are people I work with that hunting and fishing is everything to them, and they put that high as a higher priority than anything in their lives, and therefore it's idle. And God, you can't really enjoy it the way God wants you to enjoy it. There was a preacher here at the Methodist Church in Farmington. One morning I just happened to tune in when he was telling this story. And he was telling of a story of a family that had been very involved in church. And they had been very helpful in a lot of areas and really loved the Lord and excited. And then their son got to be a teenager and he got involved in sports. And they got where they stopped coming hardly at all. Well, he seen them in Walmart and he asked them how things were going. And they said, we're doing just fine. And he said, tell them their son was involved in all these kind of sports and stuff. But to the point that they couldn't even come to church anymore. Is that God's best? Did you know there was a preacher in our circles that was fired because he got up and preached against that? Used to, they didn't have sports on Wednesday night or Sunday. And now they do. And they were people in his church that were missing a lot. And he got up and said, you know, God used to be a priority. Well, they voted him out. That's terrible. But I'm saying that we got to watch for those kind of undercurrents in our lives because there's a pull on our lives. The Bible says, dearly beloved, in 2 Peter, 1 Peter 2:11 says, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. Anything that is pulling us away from God wars against our soul and makes us hard towards the things of God. Sin hardens us to the things of God. Galatians 5:16 says it best. Says this, I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Expect to go against the tide in your Christian walk. Expect it. Then you won't be disappointed. There are many tides that will sweep us away. Come on up, Nina. Let me tell you what some of them are. Popularity. Peer pressure. The praise of others, modernism, skepticism, humanism, false doctrines of all kinds, liberalism, worldliness, and that's even in the church, neglect, indifference, apathy, lack of interest or concern, and this is speaking of we've let something slip in our lives. Here's what we got to do to counteract it. The Bible says in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it says, be rooted and grounded in Christ. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Our minds need to be anchored to the truth. And listen to Ephesians 4, and I'm going to close with that scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, 15 says, therefore, or that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunningness and craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We need to know what we believe and we need to live it in Jesus' name. Bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you today for the faithful that are here today. And God, I bless them today. Father, I thank you that your word is encouraging us to, as the day approaches, to stay strong in you, to examine our lives, to see if we be in the faith, to keep ourselves strong in the Lord and the things of God, and not let the world and the influences and the undercurrents of the spiritual world to pull us away from the things of God. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we close today, I want to give anybody an opportunity that needs prayer to make your way to the front. And I'd love to pray for you. If you need to reunite your relationship with the Lord and reestablish yourself, I want to pray for you. If you just want prayer for anything in general, I'd love to pray for you or someone in your family. Or you have a physical need, spiritual need, financial need, anybody at all before we close. Everybody's good. Stand to your feet then.